Well, if you'll go ahead and open your hymnals and have that invitation song marked for the invitation at the end, 294, Have Thine Own Way. That will be ready. You won't have to fumble through the pages and trying to get to it. Because we don't want to distract in any way when we get to the end of the service. That's the most important part, because that's when we say, okay, Lord, you've been speaking to me, how am I supposed to respond? And we don't need to be distracted in what we do there. Now, if you would open your Bibles or follow along on the screen, John chapter 8, verses 31 through 36, and stand in honor of respect for the ever-living, the eternally holy, inerrant, infallible, miraculously inspired, written Word of God, and of course for the God of the written Word. John chapter 8, starting at verse 31, I'm reading from the New King James Version. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Heavenly Father, as we've opened your word and read it, we ask this morning that you remove the scales, the veil from our eyes, that we may see your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, John chapter 8 has been referred to as the chapter of contrast and conflicts, because you see, Jesus deals with grace versus law, light versus darkness, life versus death, and freedom versus bondage. That does sound like it's conflicting there, doesn't it? Well, today we're going to address the last pair that is there. Freedom versus bondage. And we're going to just see how Jesus speaks to us through the Scripture and how he encourages those in darkness to look to him as the light of the world. He told the Jews that God the Father sent him and spoke of his death and the fact that they would die in their sins and could not come to where he was. In fact, John chapter 8, verse 24 says, therefore, and these are Jesus' words here, says, therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Then in 1 John chapter 5, verse 12, John writes this. He said, he who has the Son, capital S-O-N, has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Now, after Jesus spoke these truths, verse 30 says that many believed in him. But you know, just believing was not enough. So Jesus begins to teach the importance of being set free, the need of the proof of one's profession. Now, in this passage, our text, Jesus points out that there is more to salvation than simply making a profession of faith. You see, Jesus is interested in the adherence of our faith, the stick-to-itiveness of our faith, which will provide the proof of one's salvation. Johnny Hunt points out that verse 30 says that they believed in Him. And then he points out that verse 31 says those Jews believed Him. However, even though they believed in Him and they believed Him, many of them did not commit themselves to Him. You see, their belief was not a saving faith, but was merely the very first step that is necessary toward believing faith, saving faith, rather. It was the Lord's goal to point them to the full saving faith, which is where I get the title for the message this morning, to point them to full saving faith in Him, in Christ. In other words, Jesus was pointing them to the type of faith that would truly set them free from sin, set them free from death, set them free from Satan and hell. Now, Dr. Hunt went on to say this, and I quote, "This section is addressed to those who believe and yet do not believe." Let's stay with what he's saying here. Clearly, they were inclined to think that what Jesus said was true, but they were not prepared to yield Him the far-reaching allegiance that real trust in Him implies. End of quote. Believe it or not, this is a very dangerous state to find yourself in. Because it's dangerous because, folks, you know, to recognize that truth is Jesus and then to do nothing about it means, in essence, that you are aligning yourself with the enemies of the Lord. You're saying, I'm aligning myself with Satan and his demonic angels. Therefore, the people who Jesus was addressing only partially believed, stopping short of a true saving faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 says, "Examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified." That's a whole sermon within itself right there, but we're not addressing all of that this morning. But that, take that verse home. Get your concordance out. Get your study Bibles and study that verse. There's a lot there. So, what exactly is then saving faith? Well, saving faith consists of three elements: knowledge, assent, and trust. The first one, knowledge. Knowledge is the intellectual component of faith. Now, this involves an understanding of the basic biblical facts regarding salvation. You've got to have that knowledge. You've got to have that basic understanding, first of all. And then the second one is assent, or emotions. Now, what I mean by that is, confidently, it affirms those facts to be true. So you've got the feeling, you've got the knowledge, and then you've got the feeling the assurance in your mind that that is true. And the third one is trust. Now, trust, or your will, so to speak, acts on each of the other two by a personal appropriating, personally appropriating Jesus Christ as the only hope of salvation. So you say, first of all, I have the knowledge of understanding what salvation is and what Jesus did and what I need to do to obtain salvation. Secondly, I've got to agree on it with my will. I've got to accept it. My emotion has got to wrap itself around it. And then I've got to commit myself to it. I've got to trust completely and totally and act upon these other two and commit myself totally to Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, the pattern of a saving faith life reinforces the truth that genuine saving faith not only involves knowledge and acceptance, but it involves trust and commitment as well. Now, verse 31 says, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. In other words, if you hold fast, if you obey, practice perseverance in obedience to the Scripture. In other words, if you continually study the Word of God and obey the Word of God, all of that are the fruit or evidence of genuine faith. Discipleship begins, folks, with believing. But it also means constantly remaining in the Word. Listening to Jesus, like what you're doing today, this morning. Gathering together to worship Him, to listen to His Word, to come to Sunday school, study the Bible, study the Sunday school lesson, listen to what God is saying through these theologians that have put together this material to help you have a deeper understanding of who Christ is. And then obeying Him. What you hear, you obey. It's not like what Levi does when we say, Levi, stop. Levi, I said, stop. Well, you've had children. You know how they... We're not to be like that, but rather to stop. We are to obey. And so as we study the Word and we hear something that God is saying to us, whether it doesn't matter who the messenger is, God is speaking to our heart, folks. We need to obey the truth that God has given us. Not simply for the academic satisfaction or the intellectual appearance, but in order to find out what God wants us to do. Amen. And the truth of Jesus, then, is designed for action. We're not just to look at it and do nothing, but to act upon His truth. Now, your future loyalty to the teachings of God, of Christ, will prove the reality of your present profession. Continuance in the Word proves the sincerity or insincerity of your profession of faith. It is the acid test, if I may, of the Christian life. Those whose faith is the real saving faith, those who are actually in reality disciples of Jesus Christ, will abide They will continue, they will remain in the truth and obedience to His Word. The nature of true discipleship consists of continued obedience to God's Word. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 4 through 6, he wrote, "He who says, 'I know Him,' and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His Word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. He who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as He walked." Amen. Folks, have you got your hip boots on this morning? It's getting deep. It's going to be deeper than this, Ms. Virginia. We're getting into the meat of the Word today, folks. 1 John chapter 3, verse 24 says, "Now he who keeps His commandments abides in Him, and He, Jesus, in Him. And by this we know that He, God, abides in us by the Spirit of whom He, Jesus, has given us." The results of our abiding is we will know the truth. Verse 32 says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, when you receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord and welcome His Word with diligence, Jesus will lead you into a deeper experience with truth. And when we obey His Word, we grow in spiritual knowledge. And as we grow in spiritual knowledge, we grow in His truth, which is Christ. And as we grow in His truth, which is Christ, we grow in freedom from sin. And that, folks, leads to liberty, true liberty. The emphasis this morning is on truth and freedom. Truth is one of the marks of Christ. Look at what the Scripture says about Christ and truth. Not what I'm saying, but what the Scripture says. John chapter 1 verse 14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus claimed to Thomas to be the personification of truth. Look at what He says in John chapter 14 verse 6. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, Thomas, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except me." The other emphasis is on freedom. Freedom from slavery of sin. This freedom is gained only through Christ and Christ alone. Romans chapter 8 verse 2 says, "For the law of the Spirit of life is Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." John says that we are sanctified by truth. In John chapter 17 verse 17, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." John chapter 17 verse 19 says, "And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth." In John chapter 1 verse 17, truth is mentioned with grace. "For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." The reality of believing in Jesus, obeying His Word, and knowing the truth brings spiritual freedom. This freedom is freedom from the bondage of lies. It's freedom from the bondage of Satan, condemnation, judgment, spiritual ignorance, spiritual death, and sin. Christ came to liberate every one of us. Christ came to liberate the lost. Luke chapter 19 verse 10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." That means freedom. That means peace. Very important question. Do you have that freedom and peace this morning? Are you walking in the full saving faith of Christ? You know you can, if you will but just place your full and complete faith in Christ and ask Him to forgive you of your lack of faith and to restore the joy of your salvation, and then commit your life fully to Him. If you ask Him to forgive you of your sins and to come into your heart and your life and be your Lord, He will do just that. If you've never done that, will you do that this morning? He will remove that guilt of all of the past, doesn't matter what it is. He will remove that from you and cleanse your life and give you peace and joy like you've never experienced before. Now, if you have done that this morning, during this message, I'm going to ask you to do something, to respond. I'm going to ask you if you'll come at the invitation time when we start singing. If you'll come down, if you'll just simply tell me what God said to you this morning and how you have responded to Him in obedience to Him. Why am I asking you to do that? Oh, Brother Cliff, I'm embarrassed to do that. I can't do that. But Jesus wasn't embarrassed to go to the cross for you. And that's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33, He says, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven." Verse 33 says, "But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." So I'm asking you to, if you've made a life-changing experience, the decision this morning, I'm asking you to come and share that moment with me. Coming and telling me, folks, is the proof that we're talking about, that you really are making that commitment to Christ. It is the proof of the adherence of your faith, the statement I made earlier in the message. It is, so to speak, as the expression goes, the proof is in the pudding. Maybe, I don't know, maybe the proof that you need to show this morning is uniting with this body of believers. If the Lord is placing that upon your heart, then I'm asking you to be obedient unto Him and to come together with us. There's strength in numbers and unity in Christ Jesus. And if He's asking you to come, obey Him. Be that part today. Just a moment, we're going to stand. And we're going to sing. Whatever it is that the Lord has laid upon your heart, I challenge you, encourage you to be obedient to what the Lord is saying to you today. As we stand and as we sing, you make that decision for Christ today.